today? If they have red on, say, I love that red. Amen. Awesome. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you that you so loved us that you sent your Son. God, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to this earth. That whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God, we thank you for the original Valentine. We thank you, God, for the original love letter sent in your Son. We thank you, God, for that love that is so evident and so real in this church today, in our lives today. God, if we look with the eyes of the Spirit, we can see, we can sense, we can feel your love. We can feel what you're doing. And so, God, I thank you that you're here right now. You're moving amongst us. God, you're touching hearts. You're touching the broken. You're moving, God, amongst the crowd. You're moving in our marriages, God, in our relationships, in our difficulties, in our pain, in our shame, God. Your love is moving in and bringing greater levels of freedom, greater levels of healing, deliverance, purity, joy. Father, I thank you that whenever you show up, great things happen. Lord, whenever you showed up 2,000 years ago, great things happened. God, the adulterous woman was healed. She was forgiven. She was set free. God, I thank you, Lord, that you healed the lepers. I thank you that you healed the blind. I thank you that you raised the dead. God, you turned every dead situation and you made it alive. And we just give you glory today that you're with us right now in our country, in our state, in the church, in our marriages, in our families, whatever we're facing. I thank you, Jesus, that you're standing right there. God, you're about to turn this water into wine. You're about to take a situation that looks like I have nothing left. I have nothing to give you. I have a little water. What can you do with this, Jesus? He says, I'm about to turn it into the best wine that you've ever tasted. So God, we just give you the glory. I pray for your anointing in this house, for your breakthrough, just spirit of breakthrough and revelation in Jesus' name. Anoint my words and seal it on our hearts. And everybody in the house said, amen, amen. I have a message that God has just kind of been speaking to me, and it's kind of a Valentine message, I guess, but not really. But it is, but not really, if that makes sense. I want to talk about learning to love like Jesus. Say, learning to love like Jesus. See, Jesus is our ultimate example. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our everything. But he's our example when we look to the Scriptures. I love Paul's life. I learned so much from Paul's life. But as awesome as Paul is, he's not the highest example. Jesus is the highest example. Can somebody agree with me? And as I read the Gospels and I look at the life of our wonderful, powerful Savior, there are so many things that stand out to me that says, wow, this is love. This is how you live love. This is how you walk in love. This is how you transform the world. And so I could pull out example after example after example, but for today, I felt like I wanted to just kind of lean into three specific examples from the life of Jesus where we see love in action. And it's supernatural, but it's also very practical. And I believe that God is inviting us into something that's supernatural, but at the same time, he's giving us something to do. He wants us to participate. Amen. And so the three things that I see in the Bible, and we'll break these down a little bit, I see forgiveness, I see washing feet, I see breaking bread. Hallelujah. Say forgiveness. Say washing feet. Say breaking bread. Somebody's like, oh no, we're going to have a foot washing ceremony. I didn't wash my feet today. No, we're not. Just track with me. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. I want to talk about this word, forgiveness. Luke chapter 23 and 32 through 34, this is Jesus. And it says, there were two criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, they were crucified. And the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus says to them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Speaking of everybody that has just tortured him, whipped him, stabbed him, crucified him, put a crown of thorns in his scalp, and they divided his garments and they cast lots. But Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think this is the greatest example in Scripture. This is the greatest example in history of real, genuine forgiveness. When you don't really need to forgive somebody. But I love Jesus in this moment. He's saying, he's hanging on a cross. His hands are bleeding. His feet are bleeding. His side is bleeding. And he's making eye contact. He's saying, just forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing right now. They're deceived. They're full of pain. They're full of bitterness. They're full of brokenness. They're full of emptiness. And they're making a bad decision. God, please forgive them. And if Jesus, in this kind of situation, can offer grace and can offer mercy and can offer forgiveness, how about us? How about us? How about me? How about you? And so I ask myself, and maybe you ask yourself questions when you read the Bible, but I'm like, oh, how do I practically do this, Lord? How do I walk in a life of forgiveness? Because it's really hard when people wrong you and they stab you in the back and just betray you. You know, like there's so much betrayal going on in around our country. And people, you know, that you thought were friends and best friends, you know, now they're calling each other names because of COVID, because of masks, because of vaccines, because of political candidates. And people are turning on each other and throwing each other under the bus and neighbors are calling the cops on each other. It's gotten ugly quickly. And we're seeing the underbelly of this nasty thing. And we have to begin to deal with it. And what did Jesus do? He didn't like take out a sword and begin to chop people's hands off and heads off. And I mean, Peter wanted to do that when at the end, right? He's like, I'll take care of it. Slash, you know. And he's like, no, you know, let's heal that ear. But the thing I've learned is number one, you have to begin to pray for those who have hurt you. Say prayer. Luke 6:28, it says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Matthew 5:43-44, love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and who persecute you. Jesus, this is some hard words. What are you saying to us? He's saying, pray for those that have hurt you. Pray for those that have wronged you. And there's going to be times, honestly, I have been hurt. Even as a pastor, especially as a pastor, you know, in leadership, often you have a target on your chest and people want to take their bow and arrow and shoot an arrow. And sometimes on purpose and sometimes it's not on purpose. Sometimes it's just what happens. But most, you know, over the last 7 years, it'll be 7 years in March since we've been here. And hallelujah. And it's been amazing, and it's been awesome, but there are moments that are very difficult. And this is not just an individual thing. I've talked to so many pastors. You know, I remember talking to Pastor Eric, and it was brutal. The things that were spoken to him, the things that were done to him, it was brutal. And so I just can tell you, there was a few moments over the course of 7 years where I just wanted to give up. And it was because of things that were spoken to me, not to my face, but spoken to me behind my back. spoken about me, spoken about my wife, and spoken about our church. You know, it's those things that begin to sting. It's those things that begin to, you know, make you lose sleep at night, and make my prayer changing from God bless them to God judge them. God, give it back to them, whatever they did to me, whatever they spoke over our church, whatever they spoke over, just pour it back on them. You know, you're just praying the wrong kind of prayers. And my heart just got so convicted and challenged as I was reading the Gospels and reading the life of Jesus. And I began to make a list of these people that hurt me and these people that I had real genuine offense with. And bitterness in my heart. And I begin to make a list and I begin to look at that name and I just begin to pray. And I'm like, God, I don't like that person. They're messed up. Just do something. Get rid of them. Take care of them. Do your thing, Lord. And I'm like, nope, that's my heart's messed up right now. Lord, bless them. But I said it, but I wasn't feeling it. And so I just kept praying it. I kept praying it. And I kept praying over that person until I felt a release. It's like the drain or the faucet has this big clog and the water's not coming through. And all of a sudden the water just starts pouring through and you got clean water again. You're like, hallelujah. That's what it's like in our heart when we have unforgiveness, when we have bitterness, when we have so much anger towards a brother or sister. You know, it's easy to forgive people in the world that don't love Jesus. It's easy. But it hurts when your brother or sister in the Lord stab you in the back. It hurts. But Jesus still says the same thing, forgive. And so I begin to make a list of these people, and I felt a release after praying for some significant time over each and every one. And I remember just lifting my hands and just beginning to pray, God bless them. God, just pour out your glory on their life. Father, just extend their tent pegs. God, would you pour out a blessing that they could not contain? And I actually meant it. And I'm like, Lord, my heart has totally changed. My heart has shifted in the context of prayer. That's what we need to do. We have to begin to lean into this thing called prayer until we begin to love our enemies. Love our enemies and love our neighbors who have wronged us. This is forgiveness and walking a life of forgiving is loving like Jesus. How do you love like Jesus? You forgive your neighbor. You forgive your spouse. You forgive your child. You forgive your boss. You forgive that person that has caused you some harm. You forgive your dad. It's a big one. You forgive him. I remember I had anger in my heart toward my father. And I got saved and I just had some anger and I had some things going on that I couldn't quite shake. I'm like, what is this and why can't I get rid of this? And I remember getting really just set free one time through prayer, and God really just did this work in my heart, and it was quite supernatural. And he revealed to me, as he's healing my issues and my anger and bitterness toward my father, but I begin to see something that I had never seen before. And God began to show me my dad as a little boy. And he was adopted into this really rigid, strict German family. And his adopted father was very harsh and very mean. And so he didn't get love as a little boy. And so all of a sudden the father speaks to me. He says, he could never give you what he never received. And he believes in God, but he's not a full-fledged, you know, Holy Ghost believer. And so he doesn't have, you know, the Holy Spirit guiding his life. And so God just really ministered to me, like, you are putting expectations on a person when they don't have the capacity to give what you need. And so lean into your Father in heaven and get healed and forgive. Forgive. Say forgiveness. And so we pray for those who hurt us, which isn't always easy, but it's necessary, right? It's necessary for this Christian life. And I really think it's a practical way to lean into this love, this beautiful agape love of Jesus. And the second thing that we have to do is forgive as you've been forgiven. Come on. Come on. All of us in this room, everybody has a story of craziness, whatever you've done in your past, and you just made some horrible mistakes, whether it was drugs, alcohol, living a crazy life, sleeping around, whatever it was. You've been totally forgiven. And I, you know, it's easy, typically, 98% of the time, it's really easy for me to forgive because I've come out of so much junk. And I've been forgiven of so much. It's typically really easy for me to look at somebody and say, it's cool. Don't worry about it. I totally forgive you. Right? And so I think this is so biblical where it says in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do this. Come on. And so what does that really mean? What does that look like? It looks like let it go. It looks like get your Elsa dress on and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm not going to hold on to this grudge anymore. You got to let go of the grudge. Let go of the thing that is holding your heart back. It's like I used to in my, you know, when I was a little bit younger, I don't know if I would do it so much now, but I like adventure. I like risk. But I used to love jumping off cliffs and into water, not just going cliff jumping into rivers and into lakes. It was just super fun. And but, you know, and it was the adrenaline rush you feel when you're right about to jump off that thing. And it's just super intense and it's flowing through your body. And you jump and it's amazing. And you're like, wah! But what if, like, you're about to jump, it's this incredible moment. And you leap, and then at the moment that you leap, you grab onto the tree. Uh-oh. Or you grab onto this rock or something that's like stationary, and you grab onto it. It would be so brutal and bad for you. You would not launch into the deep. You would not launch into the adventure. You would go down the side of the mountain, the side of the rocks, and you'd bruise yourself up. And so when we don't let go of something, it literally hinders us from moving forward. It hinders us from jumping into the great adventure of Jesus, into the great unknown of His love, of His goodness, of His joy. We can't hold on to the bitterness. We can't hold on to the past. Somebody say amen. Amen. The past is in the past. Let it go. It's like that scene in Lion King, right? I'm getting all these Disney illustrations on you. It's this Lion King moment where the monkey whacks him with the stick. And he's like, ouch, that really hurt. And he's like, it doesn't matter. It's in the past, you know. You have to move on, you know. Move on from your past. It might hurt, but you got to move on. You have to put your feet in front of you and begin to walk forward. But many times we sit and we dwell and we just get all messed up in our past and we allow it to dictate where we're going in our future. So let go of the grudge and forgive. And here's the thing, it's like forgiveness is not this magic potion that we sprinkle on things and all of a sudden people like forget. And they forget the you know, like what he's saying, forget the mean words. Forget the mean actions. It doesn't sprinkle potion. It doesn't change the past, but it changes the trajectory of your future. It changes where you're going. It changes your heart position towards your spouse. It changes your heart position towards those in your family, towards those that you have hurt or have hurt you. It changes everything. Forgiveness. So forgiving is loving like Jesus. And that's a practical way. I mean, I love learning about spiritual gifts. I love learning about how to grow in spiritual gifts. But sometimes we need to learn the practical love of Jesus. What is a practical step that I could begin to lean into today, Lord, that I could begin to change the world around me? And it's forgiveness. Somebody say, hallelujah. Well, I didn't think you were going to do that. Number two, Number two, washing feet. Say, washing some feet. John chapter 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He began to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing to you, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Hallelujah. Washing feet. I love this beautiful picture of our Savior, of our King, not being boastful and proud and arrogant, but saying, actually, I'm going to get low. I'm going to come in humility, because the Bible says in James that God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And so Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of the world, says, I am going to serve you. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And I'm actually going to serve the dirtiest part of your body. You know, Arabic culture, Jewish culture, they walked in the desert for days in flip-flops. You know, they didn't have no Nikes or whatever, your fancy running shoe. Their feet were nasty and dirty, and they would come into places and they would have to get their feet washed. And so Jesus says, I am actually going to take care of your transportation right now. I'm going to give you a full detailed car wash right now. And so bring me that foot. And he begins to wash that foot. He begins to serve them in a very practical way, because their feet probably hurt from walking so much. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to minister to you. I'm getting low, because this is the kingdom of God. Servanthood is loving like Jesus. Serving, washing feet. What was he doing? He was serving. And serving is loving like Jesus. Say, serving. I think of a king, another king that served. I think of David. I love King David. I just love his life. I love reading about him. But think about this moment in history in David's life where Samuel, the greatest prophet in the land. I mean, he wasn't just like a no-name prophet. This was like the prophet in the land. Like, he was it at this point, at this moment. And he comes and he lays hands on David and he anoints him and he speaks the word of the Lord that you will be king. Can you imagine like the anointing, the joy, everything, the feelings, the emotion, everything that he's feeling? He's like, I was just with my dad's sheep. And now this dude's like prophesying that I'm going to be king over Israel. Like, this is amazing. Brothers, did you hear this? You know, like, dad, did you record that? Did somebody get that on their iPhone? You know? This was an amazing word. But I love that David, after he gets the word, he doesn't just like sit on this like chair and say, I'm going to just wait for it to happen. I'm king. No, what did he do? The very next day, the Bible says he continues to serve his father. He continues to serve and take care of the sheep and take care of his dad's animals. Like, he wasn't too good to get low. He wasn't too good to serve. And his dad says, hey, actually, I know you've just been anointed king, but your brothers are on the front line. Could you go serve them some food? He could have been like, dad, you're talking to the future king. Like, I don't think you know what just happened yesterday. Like, let me pull out my iPhone. Listen, you know. And he serves his brothers. It's such a beautiful thing. And even after he was recognized for killing Goliath, and he's beginning to kind of rise in the ranks, if you will, but Saul is still the king. And so David honors the king, and he kind of becomes his personal worship leader. And he worships for Saul, even though in his heart, he's like, I know I'm supposed to be king, like I know I got this word, but Saul really wants me to worship for him, and so I'm just going to do it. And he ministered to the king. He ministered to his leader in a very practical way. That's servanthood. What is serving in our world? Serving is looking and finding the need. It's your friend that needs help moving. Oh, shoot, I'm busy, man. I'm so sorry. Something just came up. Right when you called me, something just came. Nobody likes moving. Nobody likes lifting heavy furniture. Like, that's not a joy. That's not the joy of my heart. But it is a labor of love to help a brother or sister that needs some help moving furniture. That's a practical way that you can serve, that you can wash somebody's feet. Right? It's the person that is just suffering with depression and anxiety. And there's a lot during COVID. And many times we're busy. And Americans in 2021 are very busy. And we got things to do. We got places to go. We got people to see. We got social media to check and all the stuff. And sometimes we miss the individual. Right? And that person that we just spend a little bit of time with and just say, hey, I want to just, can I pray for you? Could I buy you a cup of coffee? Could I give you some wisdom? This is what God did for me when I was going through a similar situation. And I just want to just share with you. And even if it takes 2 hours, I just want to be available for you. And that is like life-changing to the person that's dealing with crippling anxiety. With just, they don't know what to do in their life. They've come to a fork in the road and they don't know where to go, who to turn to. And all of a sudden you come in and you're like, I just want to hang out with you. I just want to give you some wisdom. Take it or leave it. But I'm here for you. That's Jesus. That is serving an individual that is dirty. Their feet are dirty. Hallelujah. And in the church, there's all kinds of ways to just get low in the church. Somebody say, get low. Say it again. Say, get low. There's all kinds of ways to get low and serve in the church. It's like you heard me talk about kids ministry. And kids ministry isn't necessarily amazing. And I mean, it is amazing, but sometimes it's like it could be draining. Sometimes it could be like, man, they're yelling. They're screaming, they're throwing things, they're not listening to me. You know, there's all kinds of things that can happen when you have kids, because they're kids. They're just kids. But would you take the time and serve them, realizing that they are the future leaders of America? They are the future leaders of the church. And if we don't take the time and invest in them, then they're going to get invested in by Yahoos. And people that don't have the heart of the Father. And so that's a very practical way to serve the church. It's looking for things. You heard Patrick last week. He said, we really need some help in media. We have the same person week after week after week doing media. And she shows up early. Praise God. Wes is back there today. You're awesome. You're faithful. Wes, we love you. It's finding the need. Oh, I see that she's, you know, Karen's been coming here week after week after week after week after week. I want to just serve in that. I want to help. I can help. I can't help all the time. I could help once every 6 weeks. It's doing something. It's just beginning to take a posture of, I see a need and I want to begin to help right there. Oh, it's freezing when I come in. I'm just throwing all kinds of stuff at you. It's freezing when I come into church. I wish Pastor Mike would turn on the fire. You know, I'm just going to sit here until he does. You know, no, it's taking initiative. It's saying, this is our house. I'm going to go make some coffee. I'm going to get things ready. I'm going to straighten those chairs. Come on, I'm preaching better than you responded. Servanthood. Serving will realign your heart. It'll realign your heart with Jesus, with the kingdom of heaven. And it will just break off wrong mindsets. And I love this story that happened to me. I love to sometimes be the punchline of a good joke, but this happened to me in Bible college. Dominic, you were, we were probably in the same room, I know we were at the same conference, but there was this big conference going on. It was called Invasion, and we had to, as students, we had to serve in every capacity, like in you're changing diapers and ushering and waving cars in and all this stuff. And so I just so wanted to serve, but I didn't want to serve on this one night. And the night was when John Bevere was going to be speaking. And so I signed up for all these events and all these things. I'm like, I'm going to usher here. I'm going to do kids church here. I'm going to do this, but don't X my name on Friday night when John Bevere is speaking. I just want to hear him. I just want to sit there. And so all of a sudden that night rolls up, and two people are sick and they can't come. And so the head usher, he's like, hey, we really need your help. Can you usher? Yeah, totally. I'd love to. I would love to usher. I'm a servant, right? And I'm like, in my heart's like, why are you calling me? I've told you I don't want to do this. I told you what I'm available for. And so I'm like mad that he's asking me to do this, but I reluctantly do it. And so I come and I'm ushering, I'm sitting in the back, and the place is packed out. And so they said, oh man, we're getting really full. Can you help in the parking lot? Said, yeah, totally. I would love to help in the parking lot. That's what I do. So I go in the parking lot and I'm parking cars. Here's your parking spot. And then the guy comes. He says, we need overflow parking. Can you go down the street? I'm like, yeah, I'm so mad right now. I'm not going to see. I hear the worship going, and it's like electric. The house is like pounding, boom, boom. And I'm like, down the street, here's your spot, sir. Yeah, enjoy. I mean, and it just keeps going more and more, and to the point where there's no more parking spots, and we have to park people 2 miles away. And so they say, here, get in this van. We're going to drive you 2 miles away to the next parking lot, and you need to park people down there. And so I can't even hear music anymore. I am like in another destination. And so I'm parking people, and my heart is just mad. And I feel like, I feel looked down on. I feel like, who do they think they are? Like, they should have known better. You know, I've served all week. I need a break. You know, I need my ministry. All the stuff we say. And anyway, so it's like, it's going and it's going and it's going. And finally the guy comes, he picks me up in the van, and he says, hey, you know, would you like to sit in the back? And you've been doing a good job. Why don't you come? And I'm mad, but I'm like, yeah, cool, great. You know, and so and I'm thinking like, drive faster, like let's get there. I know the meeting's already started. And so I sit in the back, and the first thing out of John Bevere's mouth, he starts talking about, some of you are unwilling to serve. Just go on this message on like your on pride and you don't have any humility and you're not willing to serve the local church. And I was like, check please. And I just turned around and I walked out, and I'm like, you got a bathroom for me to clean? You got, what can I do? I'll serve. I will usher with a happy, joyful heart. But it was like God realigned my heart, and I realized from that moment that serving and servanthood and serving the church and serving your family isn't something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Because when you serve the least of these, you're serving Him. When you serve the naked, you're serving Him. When you serve the one in jail, you're serving Him. When you serve the person that could never pay you back, and you come to them and you say, hey, I want to pay for your rent. I see you're struggling, and nobody's going to know about this but you. I want to help you. You're serving Him. Come on. So you want to change something. You want to change your marriage, then start serving your marriage. You want to change a friendship, start serving your friendship. Hallelujah. You want to make a difference in your world, begin to serve. You want to glorify Jesus, then serve. Come on, this is a good message. This is learning to love like Jesus. I want to learn to love like Jesus. And I need to grow. I need to grow in this. And sometimes I feel like I do a good job, and sometimes I feel like I fail miserably. But there's grace, and there's a new day, and we can learn, and we can. You don't have to have it all put together. You don't have to be a perfect Christian that does everything and crosses all your T's and dots all your I's, and you're like, bam, every single day I walk in the love of Jesus. Nothing's going to stop me. Sometimes you miss it, and sometimes you might say something that hurts an individual, but you get back up on the horse, and you keep going, and you love again, and you forgive again, and you serve again. No matter what, this is the kingdom. And in your servanthood and in your washing of feet, washing the bride's feet, washing the church, washing your spouse's feet, in that you glorify Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then the last thing is breaking bread. Somebody say breaking bread. Breaking bread. Hallelujah. Matthew 26:26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took some bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. Luke 7:34 says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I love this about Jesus, that obviously the Last Supper was this amazing moment, and what happens in this setting before the crucifixion is a powerful moment. But if you look at the life of Jesus, there's so many moments where Jesus stops and has a meal with somebody. And I just got really challenged and really convicted, because I sometimes can be too busy. I'm too busy to slow down for somebody. Too busy to have a meal with somebody. But here's Jesus that says, I want to break bread with you. Here, let's look at a great portion of Scripture. We love this one. Acts chapter 2. I think this says it beautifully. Acts chapter 2. This is the mission of every church. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done among the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common. Hallelujah. They sold their possessions, their goods. They divided them among everyone, and as they had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah! That is the mission, if you choose to accept. But and this is what the early church understood. This is what, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about Jesus breaking bread. But get that picture in your heart, in your mind. Like, this is who we are. This is how we're supposed to live. But unfortunately, many of us in society, in the American church, in the Western church, have kind of reduced this beautiful, magnificent, powerful scripture to say something like this. Acts 2:42, 2021 version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Oh, wait a minute. That's the right verse. You don't want that. I'm trying to give you something else. The Christians were devoted. And occasionally they went to church when they had time. No one was filled with awe, because there was no signs and wonders performed by the believers. Very few of the believers were together, and they had almost nothing in common, because they had no real time for each other. If they sold something, they used the money to buy something better for themselves. Where's the rest of that? The 2021 version. This is the version of 2020, 2021. I had it on my computer and it kind of cut some of it off, so I'm trying to find the rest of it here. Hold on a second. Amen. Well, you get the gist. it's just we don't want to be selfish, right? We don't want to live like that. We want to live a life of servanthood. We want to serve those around us. We want to break bread. We want to have time for those in our community, because ultimately, what is breaking bread? Breaking bread is fellowship. Breaking bread is spending time with an individual and saying, you matter to me. And so I'm going to take time out of my busy schedule and I'm going to share a meal with you. And I love, you know, Jesus's examples. You know, you look at his life of feeding the multitude. You know, he wasn't just worried about, okay, I got to preach the gospel. I got to teach. We're going to see signs and wonders. People are going to get saved. He's like, no, actually, these guys are super hungry. So let's break some bread together. And they're like, Jesus, we only have a couple fish and a couple pieces of bread. And so he breaks that, even though it's nothing. And so it's in the context of let's have a meal together that they see one of the greatest miracles ever. Come on. Something special happens when we gather, when we eat, when we have a cup of coffee, when we look each other in the eyes, when we talk heart to heart, something happens. Look what happened to the guys on the road to Emmaus. Here's Jesus walking with them. They don't know it's the resurrected Christ. They don't know what's going on. All of a sudden they come in, they have a meal together, they break bread, and their eyes are opened. The revelation of Jesus is sitting in front of me. So when we have fellowship, when we have a meal, when we have community, authentic community, revelation comes. Our eyes are open. The scales fall off. We begin to see each other for who we truly are. You begin to see your brothers and sisters. You begin to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. I love Zacchaeus. Say Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in that sycamore tree. And the Lord he wanted to see. I don't know. I'm making this song up. I don't know if you're not just kidding. Just kidding. It's a prophetic song of the Lord. But Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus did not have a very good reputation. And they called him short man. They called him a thief. They called him the guy that steals our money. Like he had a very bad reputation in the community. But Jesus, what does he do with the person that everybody hates? He says, hey, actually, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your home and I want to eat with you. And I love that he didn't call him by the names that everybody was calling him. He said Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus actually means pure one. So he's like, I want to remind you of who you are today. I'm going to call you out of that tree and I'm going to come into your house and we're going to fellowship together. I'm going to fellowship with the outcast. I'm going to fellowship with the one that everybody hates. I'm going to fellowship and your life is going to be radically changed. I'm bringing you into the inner circle. That's our Jesus. Amen. Patrick, you can jump on the guitar. We're not going to go too much longer. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Let me tell you, give you a scripture in Hebrews here. Everybody doing good? Yeah. Say happy Valentine's Day. It's all about him. Patrick, you could jump on there. And we're just going to sing a song in just a second and close it out. Come on, Bible. You ever have trouble finding something that you could always find so easy? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day is approaching. Come on, Paul. Well, I think it's Paul. We don't know who the author is, but some say it's Paul that wrote the book of Hebrews. But come on, writer of Hebrews. That's so good. Especially in 2020 and 2021. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. But we can't. There's mandates. The governor says it's dangerous to gather. The governor says we'll get sick if we gather. But Paul, the apostle Paul, said this. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures say do not forsake. Why? Because something powerful happens when we gather. Something powerful happens when we fellowship. Something powerful happens when we worship together, when we break bread together, when we pray, when we worship. Amen. Amen. So don't stop.
Amen.
And I love that Jesus loved to slow down enough to look at a person eye to eye. You know, John 21, I've been kind of reading this for a couple of weeks since Andy spoke this to me. It's a powerful verse. It's the end of the gospel and Jesus again in his resurrected body. And they hear that Jesus is on the shore. And so Peter throws off his garment and jumps into the water, right? And he just goes for it. He swims to shore. He says, there's Jesus. I can't get to him fast enough. I got to get to Jesus. I have to get to where he is, right? And they all get to the shore. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't give this harsh rebuke. Oh, Peter, you denied me. Peter, you failed. You blew it royally, bud. He says, hey, let's cook some fish. Let's have a meal together. And it was in the context of having a meal together that Peter began to get restored of his brokenness. He began to get restored for denying Jesus. And he began to get launched into destiny. Peter, will you take care of my sheep? You know I will, Lord. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, God. He restores him in the context of a simple meal. You can get totally set free. You can set somebody free at Amigos, at Roberto's, at Imperial Gold. You don't know. Give somebody some time. Come on. It's slowing down. You know, a lot of times in my life, and I go fast. I said this, and I have a list of things, and I have things I want to do, and sometimes I even have a bunch of lists of fun things I want to do. And I become almost a drill sergeant for the fun things. I'm like, we got to do this fun thing. Heather, we have to go here. Like, we need to do this. And she looked at me. She's taught me this so beautifully. But she said, hey, the kids are happy. And they're playing with their toys. And they're really happy right now. Why don't you come into their world? Instead of you trying to pull them into your world. And so she said, just play with them. And I begin to get on the floor and play with Caleb and play with Olivia and come into her world and play toys and play Barbies and play ponies. And all of a sudden their world got happier because that is holy ground to a child. That's holy ground when you begin to get on your knees and you say, hey, I'm here. I'm not above you. I'm with you and I want to play. Come on, give me that Ninja Turtle. Let's do this thing. Come on, let's. Caleb, I love Legos. You just begin to get into their world. And she taught me this so beautifully. And she does it. And her family does it so well. And it's something that I've had to learn. And it's learning to take time. It's learning to get low. It's learning to serve. You serve your kids by coming into their world. Don't be in a hurry. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this new season. Thank you for what you're doing in our country. Thank you for what you're doing in the church. God, I thank you for a great awakening. A great awakening. A great reformation. You're doing it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, right now, today, bring us back to the simplicity of the gospel. Bring us back to the simplicity of your love. God, we want to learn how to love like Jesus. We want to learn how to love like the Son of God. Lord, you took time for the individual. You served, you washed feet, you forgave, even to the point of death. God, you forgave those who hurt you. You forgave those that betrayed you. You forgave. And God, I just pray, teach us to begin to lean into these things, these practical steps to walk in the agape love of Jesus. God, I pray, let these three things become such a big revelation in our life. Let it overtake, God, that we would begin to live out Acts chapter 2, 42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, in prayer. A fear came upon the land, on every soul, and signs and wonders were done throughout all the land through the apostles. Now all who believed were gathered together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and their goods. They divided them among anyone and everyone who had need, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God, I thank you that this is how we bring revival to the land. This is what our culture needs. This is what the person that's just mad at Vons needs. They don't need somebody to cuss them out. They don't need a fist fight. They need the love of Jesus in action. They need some forgiveness put their way. They need somebody to wash their feet. They need somebody to serve them. They need somebody to take the time. I know you're scared. I know we're in a pandemic. Let's just talk. You can keep your mask on if you want to. I don't care. Let's talk. I want to talk with you. And let's see what happens in our society. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, God, for opportunities to be a blessing in our community. Thank you for opportunities to love like you. God, in our marriages, in our families, in our children's lives. God, in everything that we do in this church, thank you for great opportunities that are being provided daily to love like Jesus. God, we just glorify you. We love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. God, have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. And I just, for just a few minutes, I just want you to connect with God. There's something that happens when you allow the Holy Spirit just to minister. And kind of what the Lord showed me one time as I was getting ministered to in a service. And I began to sit there in worship afterwards. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was massaging that word into my heart. Working that word into my heart, into every fiber of my being, working that message, just putting it deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I just want you just to put your hands in front of you, and I just want you to worship the Lord for a few minutes as the team worships. After that, you're free to go. God bless you. Father, seal this word in our hearts today. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. Amen.
Who can melt the hardest heart and speak life into my soul? Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Who controls the world I see? Walks me through it all. No one but righteous bride, paid my way with grace. Love me through my darkest hours, a thousand different ways. God, we thank you for your perfect love. Thank you for your example, God, that you showed us how to love. Teach us how to love our neighbor, God, as you did. Have your way in each one of us. We give ourselves to you this week. Lead us and guide us, God. Show us who to have over for dinner, God. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, just come to the front and someone will be up here. Have a great week.